This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yes. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Oh yes, we're looking for the sun today because it makes fun with your hosts Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer on this week's edition of Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show where we have fun in the sun. Is that right, Chris?
Oh yeah, having fun in the sun. Three listeners at a time here at Motormouth Radio. And you know, there is some sort of sun type of medication. If you listen to this program on a regular basis, you better get out in the sun more often because you need that vitamin D.
And I'll tell you,
yes!
I'll tell you where you should be if you're out in the sun today. You should be right here, the place that we would have been at if we could have pulled it off but couldn't, and that's the car show at Tobe Beach. This is the Joe Saladino and the town board. He's a supervisor. They put on this the car show at Tobe like they did. They didn't do it last year. And we did broadcast from there a few years ago. It's going on from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., so you still have time to get in, although now I'm sure the line is very long to get in. It stretches right down Ocean Parkway. You know, and they have awards for each class. Of course, Kids' Choices Awards, Vendors and Displays, Food Truck Corral. There's a whole bunch of good stuff going on down there. So, again, Tobe Beach down at where the beaches are, where that part of the island where the beaches are. The pitch in the water down there.
I'm glad you narrowed it down.
Not the mountains, the other thing.
No, not the Long Island mountains, no.
No, some people call it the shore. We call it the beach. So go down there and what?
They call it the shore.
The shore, right.
Two syllables.
And if you're not going down there, give us a call at 516-572-7440 where we will entertain all of your car questions and concerns and even stuff that's not pertaining to cars, like that nice car sitting behind Chris right now.
Ooh, yes. Since we are on Zoom, I have a chance to actually put some custom wallpaper behind me, because really there is behind me is a green wall. It looks like a penitentiary behind me here, but I have the option to put up some classic wallpaper here. And what we're seeing now, which you cannot see because we're on radio, is the only existing picture of my Riviera. I used to own a 71 Riviera, as like you did, Ray. And mine was all black. It was triple black with no vinyl top.
Yeah.
It was one of those cars that I should have never bought and I should have never sold. You know the type, right?
Yes, I do.
I should have never bought this car and I should have never sold this car.
Yeah.
It falls into that short list of cars that I have owned in my life. Cause there's some that I wish I would have never sold, but love to have bought, and there's some that
it goes both ways. I know.
Yes,
you know, I follow some guys on Instagram now, and of course you can follow us on Instagram at @real_MotormouthRadio and Motormouth Radio on the web and Twitter and Facebook, just so you know. And then it's a Boat Tail Riv site, a page rather. And some of these guys, you know, they post everything from pictures like that or worse, cars that are kind of wrecks that are going to be restored, to cars that are totally finished. And every single time I see one, I'm like, oh yeah, I love those cars. You know,
that's true.
I didn't like the 8 miles to the gallon though, but
yours too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have to, if I was driving up to Connecticut from New York, I think I had to fill it up twice.
Yeah. I was using it as a daily driver, you know, from home to work, which isn't a far stretch, but still, you know, it would eat that gas. And you know, you try all the tricks. You keep it tuned up. You flip the air cleaner over. You keep the tires inflated. You try to coast as much as you can. And yeah, like, you know, 8 miles to the gallon.
Try and huddle up to a semi.
Yeah, yeah. On my,
behind a semi, like about 4 feet from the back of the trailer, and just put the nose there. Just leave it there. Let the wind. Hopefully, you get that drafting NASCAR current that'll get you up to maybe 9.5 miles per gallon.
You know, I tried that, but I found out here on Long Island that when you're doing that and you're behind a semi and you're both going like 25 or 30 miles an hour, you really don't get the draft effect.
No.
Yeah. But anyway.
Not with the Long Island traffic through the Long Island mountains. That's for sure. This picture was taken in 1987.
At Englishtown.
So, yes, at Englishtown.
I recognize that sense.
It's funny because last week we were talking about when Paul called up, we were talking about Englishtown, and that's what had sparked this. I had spoken to a friend of mine who actually took the picture of the car, and we were talking about Englishtown, and I said, don't you have a picture of that car? And he says, yeah. And he sent it to me during the week, and here it is.
Wow.
So I decided to put it up. But it is one of those that, you know what, I know you do this. You take pictures of your vehicles, and I'm sure that you have a picture of every single vehicle that you've ever owned. Am I correct?
You know,
making that statement.
I have, I've thought of that myself, and there's a few definitive holes in my collection that I don't know if I have pictures of. Like, I don't have a lot of the RIV. I have a few. I actually owned a Ford Escort for a while.
You know, it's kind of funny. You and I have owned the same cars. I don't know if at the same time, but what year was your Escort? I had an 86, I think it was
an 83. It was an Escort GT. It was a kind of cool car because our friend Gerard, who listens to the show, it was his father-in-law's car, and he had been a local police officer. So he bought that thing. Very specialty, very special purpose built. Like I said, it was the GT, so it had the higher horsepower four-cylinder, had a factory header on it. It was I don't know if it was a five or a four-speed, but it was a manual transmission. Right. And he ordered it. He wanted it when he wanted it, so he ordered it out of state. It had no rear defroster in it. That became a state law up here in the Northeast because of the snow and ice. So this car had no rear defroster, which is kind of odd.
It's odd.
And then Gerard had taken it years later when he got a hold of it and tweaked it a little more. I think he changed the head and did a few other things because he took it road racing. He actually road raced that darn thing, and he was, you know, in the class that it was made for. He was pretty competitive. He was a good driver.
Wow.
And then he had to detune it a little to make it street worthy again. And, you know, he sold it to me, and I drove it around for a number of years. I don't think I drove it for too long, but that car has a distinction. I got stuck on the way to work one day. The car died, and I rolled off the side road, made a couple turns, got into a side street where it'd be safe, and opened the hood, and I determined it was ignition. And those cars, you know, had that, the distributor was up front, and there was an electronic module that was prone to failure.
Yes.
And this one.
The one that glued onto the side of the distributor, usually, yes.
This one failed. Uh-huh. So I said, okay, you know, and I think, though, it was in the very, very early days of cell phone use, because I must have had a cell phone with me. And I called the other Gerard, who we know from Rolling Thunder Cycles, because I knew I was in not too far a proximity of his house. And I know he wasn't at work yet. And I said, hey, you think you could pick me up and drive me home so I could get one of my other cars and drive to work? And he goes, what's the problem? I said, well, my car died. It's ignition. And, you know, I don't have a part. So I'll leave it here. It's parked legally. So I'll just leave it till I can get a part and go back. He goes, well, why don't we pull it back to your house? You know, and Gerard had a Buick Skylark that he was driving at the time that was it was his mom's old car, which was like the total road warrior. This car was, you name it, and the Buick would do it. All good Buicks are that way. So I said, well, what are we going to pull it with? I don't have a tow bar. I don't even have a chain, nothing. He goes, don't worry. He goes, I got something. He, where are you? I tell him where I was. He comes over. I said, well, you know, he's not coming out with chains or ropes, you know. And I know he, as well as I, had been very proficient flat towers from back in the day, you know.
Sure.
I wrote a story about it, in fact. And he came out with these nylon style motorcycle tie down straps. They're called cinch straps because they have a friction block on them. So as you pull it, they stay tight. You would have to push a release to let the strap go. And that's perfect for tying down a motorcycle inside of a van or on a trailer. He goes, I had a couple of these. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? I'm like, is it too early for you? Did you like, you know, do you need coffee? Like, come on, those are tie down straps.
He goes, you out of your mind?
He goes, this is a Buick. That's an Escort. We're who we are. We're proficient guys. And I'm like, okay, we got the Buick. It is an Escort. He is Gerard. I am Ray. I said, we do know kind of. Okay, let's do it.
you know enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, you know, he could have had shoelaces in his hands. I probably would have said, because you know how it goes. If the friend and the guy who's there to help you says, come on, it's a piece of cake. We can do this. The onus is on you
instantly,
now.
Yes, it instantly ups the confidence level at that point.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. We hooked these straps together, and we did tow that car home without an incident. And I said, so I've used that story. Actually, just fairly recently, I told a story of how, I could tow a car with tie-down straps. What?
Tie-down straps.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Zip ties and some bubble gum. We'll get this car home.
It'll work. And it did. We did get it home. And then, of course, after work, I got the part, changed it, drove the Escort the next day. So I don't know, and I've looked for a picture of that car, and I don't have it in my album, so I don't know. If it exists, I don't know where it is right now. So, but other than
I had
that,
a white one. I had a white one. What was the first year for the flush headlights? I think it was either 85, 86.
Around then, that was kind of across the board. This one, mine was black and had that red interior. And it was
full on Ford red, right?
That's what Ford did, like what Chrysler did back in the day, which nauseates me. They dipped it. So the door panels, the dash,
everything was the same
color. And the console, but then the seats and the carpet and the headlight, I'm like, oh my God. Why?
It's the truth.
At least GM would do like a different colored carpet on the interior sometimes, GM would mix it up a little bit. Chrysler and Ford were, that was terrible.
Actually, Chrysler was, at least the car I have, my era Chrysler, the interiors were always, like, if you wanted a white interior in a Chrysler, like, especially the C-bodies, the big boys, you got white seats, you got white door panels, but you didn't get a white carpet, and you didn't get a white dash.
Thank God.
I don't think any car manufacturer put a white dashboard together.
Right, right.
I don't think that was the case. I think you got a different color dash, even in GMs. And I don't know about Fords. I don't think Ford did a white dash either.
No.
Now that I think about it. But that was my Escort was white, and it had the GT wheels, but it didn't have anything else GT on it. It just had the GT wheels. And I remember it leaked everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything leaked. Oil, power steering, transmission fluid. It leaked everything.
All right. Our studio is leaking. So let's see if we can put out the leak by going to the phones and the fun and say, hi, you're out the Motor Mouths.
Good morning, gentlemen, and how are you on this beautiful Sunday morning?
Hey, Skip,
afternoon.
What's happening?
Afternoon, sorry.
What's up, Skipper?
It is afternoon, yes.
Yes.
Well, listening to the beginning of the show, you sparked another Garino flat toe story that I have to relay. I'm sure you must remember this one. When I purchased my 63 Corvette, it was in Elmont, and it was actually up on jack stands, and one of the tires was missing. Had no seats, no interior, no running gear, nothing. I actually went with Vinnie Bavona to pick the car up, and at the time, I had to use his spare tire to put on the car, so we would have four tires to roll it on. Found a milk crate in the garage that I got the car from, put that as a makeshift seat, and we hooked up a chain between the car, and we flat towed it from Elmont back to our house in Lynbrook. Immediately, there was a concern of mine when I heard the drive shaft slapping underneath the car because it had never been disconnected from the rear end.
Oh, boy.
Oh boy.
But at that point, there was nothing to do but continue on our fated journey back to Lynbrook. And it was uneventful for the fact that one time I think the chain came dislodged and we had to repair it. But after that, all the flat towing techniques came into play, you know, the rear car brakes, coming up the lights and so forth, and you just learned how to do it because that's the only thing we had back then. We didn't have
tow bars
available or flatbeds or anything of that nature.
Right.
You had to get it there, the way you could get it there, and this was it. It was the guy said, get it out of my garage, and it was we had to get it out of there, and it made the trip back. But flat towing has always been a phenomenal experience, but it's something once you learn it, you'll never forget it, and it's with you for life.
That's true. Neil, Skip, I've talked about it a lot on the show. We back in those days, and then later, right, through the 70s, it was kind of assumed, and it was rightfully assumed, that if you bought a car that cost a couple of, you know, $100 or a couple hundred bucks, you knew you had to bring a battery. You may have to bring tires, because guys were taking that stuff out. When I got my Pontiac, there was no battery. That, you know, I bounced the back of the car, and the guy, and I said, there's no, I looked on, there's no shocks in the car. And the guy says, well, you know, I just put those in, the brand new hijackers, because I had to take those out because, you know, I'm selling the car cheap. Like, oh, of course. You only have to tow it home from Ronkonkoma. So.
and the vet was a $400 car when I bought it. So you go.
But you're right. You know, Tom, a good friend Tom and myself, that's how I honed my flat tow skills with Tom, and we towed so many cars, and some of them multiple times, mostly our own.
And back then, that was the rule rather than the exception. You had no other way to move a car to flat tow it. You know, if you were very lucky and you had maybe a car that was a race car with tow tabs up front, you could hook a tow bar to it, or somebody at the time had the old U-Haul tow bar set up that you could hook on the rear bumper of a real car to be able to tow it home with. You know, you had those options. But other than that, you were stuck to flat towing, and that's the way we learned. I mean, that's how I learned. That's the only way I ever knew how to move a car back in the day, other than if you could push it by hand, if it was close enough for that. Other than that, you were flat towing it. So you honed your skills, you learned how to do it, and again, it's something, I mean, I could probably do it today if I had to, not that I'd want to, but I mean, as you progressed, you'd maybe tie a tire on the back of the car that was the tow car in case the guy behind you wasn't an accomplished flat tower or whatever, but, you know, you tweaked it as you were doing it, so you knew who you were dealing with, you know?
You know, I thought I was
Tom, and you did it, you know, enough so you knew each other, you knew your habits, you knew how to do it down.
That's it. It's like having a dance partner. When you do, when you flat tow with somebody religiously, you know there, and you guys, you could switch cars, and we used to do that. We'd just stop and switch cars. Like, okay, I want to tow now, and you get in the back. Like, you sit on the milk crate and use the vice grips to steer with.
So, right, and not only stopping was an issue, but pulling away as well, because you have to pull away smoothly to ease the tension off that chain or that string.
Unless the guy you're towing with is a very close friend of yours and he knows that he's going to screw with you.
And
you hear that chain, you hear the chain links take up a little, and you say, okay, we're getting there, and all of a sudden it's bang!
Bang!
All right.
Well, yeah, like that's taking a catapult shot off an aircraft carrier.
Well, that's okay, because there were times when he did that to me, then there were times where I would catch like the free ride and I came up on his side with the chain. And now, like, oh, God, now what are we going to do? Now I got to slow down and get back into the. But anyway, at one time, I really thought I was hot stuff. I had gotten a car. Actually, it was my boss's car that I had at the house. It had to go someplace where nobody would see it. To come apart, and he wanted the engine out of it, and he says to me, listen, you can take whatever else you want out of this car. And I did, and what I got was a set of tow tabs and a tow bar. So I thought, great, we're in it now. Well, guess what? The only problem is nobody else, including myself, had a car with a tow hitch.
So, exactly.
So that stuff never got used. You know, it probably got thrown out. So.
Well, wow. It's all good fun until somebody gets hurt.
And we're lucky. We got, you know, we did so much of that stuff, and a lot of it was very, very sketchy, and we always came out unscathed. Thank God we
Well, again, you did it with people you knew and you trusted and whatnot, and just a real quick, the thing I thought of immediately, too, was like when you ride your bike and you're with a group of people and you don't know the people as opposed to a group of people that you know, you know how to ride with those people, and it's a whole way of life, and it's you know, in your brains, you know what you're doing. So
that's true.
All right, gentlemen, have a great rest of your day. Enjoy your weather, and we'll be talking soon.
All right, Skip, thanks for the call. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right,
take care, Skip.
All righty. You can call, too. Well, we're going to talk to Carl Anthony, but we're at 516-572-7440. Carl's going to be calling us pretty much any minute, and we'll be talking with him from automoblog.net. Always, I feel so bad. You know, we could do a weekly show with Carl because the content those guys put out is just voluminous, however you want to say it. I don't know.
Voluminous. A lot of volume.
There's a lot. Yeah, a lot
in
of
the, in the Automoblog site. And you know what? I meant to tell Carl about this. This site is just so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so easy to navigate. All the pictures are clear. It has these little touches on it that are just so finished and polished. And it really is. It's a great site to peruse whenever you can. And I'm on it now, and I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. It's everything is simple. It's not cluttered. And all the information is easy to read. All the articles are concise and informed. I'll tell him about it when, when he calls, I'll tell him.
Exactly.
When he calls, I'll tell him all about it. But, hey, I gotta let you know, in the wrenches that I now possess, I found, looking for a 10 millimeter wrench, Ray, looking for a 10 millimeter wrench, I found 4 11 millimeter wrenches and 6 11 32nd inch wrenches.
All the popular size.
Ray, what in the world do you do with these things? What do you do with an 11 millimeter wrench?
There are some times where you do need that. I've had some brake bleed fittings that are supposed to be 10, but because of rust, an 11, yeah. Well, that's what happens when you work on, you know, people's cars that are on the road. And it's sometimes an 11 will do it. Yeah, definitely.
Right. Or, because of the dirt and the crud, the commute that coagulates around that nut.
I've actually had worn down 12 millimeter fasteners that the 11 went on. I mean, you're talking about a millimeter difference, which is like, you know, it's very small. It's very small. Yeah. So, yeah, don't get rid of them.
Oh, no. No, I'm putting them next to the 11/32nd sockets that I have.
And which
that
are
I have no clue. What are you going to do with these things?
Those right next to the 2964s. I know.
I'm gonna melt them down and make an ashtray. I mean, I don't know.
Well, we're going to melt down the phones now and go to them and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Chris. It's Carl. How are you guys?
Carl Anthony from Automoblog. How are you, Carl? We're doing very well. Thank
you. Carl.
Hey, good to be on with you guys again after all this time.
I know. We were just saying we could, if you were here, we could have you on like weekly. Just put you in the studio with us because.
I would enjoy that. I would really enjoy that.
Well, you got to let us know if you ever take a vacation. You come up this way because your content on automoblog.net is, I mean, that's what we follow. That's where we go to get our stories and news. So,
yeah. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. And you know, it'd be a lot easier to be in person because I got you running through the Bluetooth in my car, and I'm thinking, okay. And the first time I called, it didn't go through, and then you're like, "Call it, Will Carl." You were texting me, and I'm like, "I'm trying, Ray. I'm trying."
I know.
So yeah,
yeah,
right.
So where are you now, Carl? You're literally sitting in your vehicle.
Yep, literally sitting in the vehicle. Actually, sitting in a rental vehicle because my wife and I have a 2014 Ford Focus, and if you know anything about those cars, they're notorious for a terrible transmission. And we've got a module that's gone bad in our transmission. So the check engine light came on me a couple weeks ago. So we took it to the dealership. They diagnosed that it's a module. It's part of this whole transmission issue with these Focuses of that model year, but the part is like 15 weeks on back order. So the Ford dealership gave us a rental, and, it's an open-ended rental. So who knows when that part's going to be in. But like I said, if you've got one of those Focuses of that model year, like 2014 on up, you're familiar with that rough transmission. So.
You know, that's a great, I mean, I'm sorry to hear that you're laid up. I'm happy to hear you have an open-ended rental. But to that to that topic, I was just talking to Rob Leonard about that before our show here. And I was talking about the national parks backwater. I've been affected by it, and I know all the people I know have been.
I have as well,
You know, what do you know on it on your end, Carl? Because, like I said, you have usually a better finger on that stuff on the national level than we do.
It just seems like everything, guys, is short. And obviously the big news here in Detroit is the vehicle shortage. But I think when they say vehicle shortage, they just mean everything. So not just semiconductors, but parts. It's like everything at some point along the way is held up in the supply chain. But here's the really crazy thing I don't understand about the rental car shortage is that, you know, when we got this rental car book, they sent us out to the airport, so DTW here, and all of them, Budget, Avis, Hertz, I mean, those lots were stacked up with rental cars.
Wow.
So, I'm not saying there's not a rental car shortage, but at least here at the airports, you know, they had plenty of stuff to pick from. So sometimes I'm like, I don't know if the shortage is everywhere, if it's just in certain locales, but I think when they say vehicle shortage, like I said, they just kind of mean everything is short right now.
Yeah, I think it may be local because on Plane in Traffic on our Thursday night show, one of the guys was saying recently how they were trying to get were promised a car, I think in California, and then it wasn't there and the lot was empty. It had like, you know, three, like I think it had two Pintos and an Escort in it. So they were like, no, we don't want those.
No kidding, you know.
Yeah.
I tell you, man, it's just, you know, I've been through this before, guys. When I was first in the automotive business in 2009, I was a salesman at a Ford dealership. So I got hired selling cars in January of 2009. And then that summer, GM and Chrysler filed bankruptcy. And we had GM stores in our dealer group. And I remember kind of the frustration and the depression that kind of took over all of us working at the dealership. So this kind of isn't my first rodeo with vehicle shortages. I've kind of been through it before, but nothing at this magnitude, you know, nothing at this level.
Right.
Really? What are you driving now? What's the rental car that you're probably going to review and we'll read about it on automoblog.com.
Yes.
What are you driving now?
Doing a, and I know you're going to be jealous here, so brace yourself, fellas. And I hope everybody in Motormouth Radio, I hope everybody listening is sitting down. But we are driving a dark red Kia Sorento. So, cloth seats in this bad boy.
Wow.
And, you know, got all the trimmings, AC, power windows, you know, the whole nine.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not a bad vehicle. You know what I mean? It's not bad. It's got a third row. You know, so I mean, it'll get us through the 15 weeks until we get ye old Focus back. But you know,
Carl, I got to ask you. It's a Kia, right? You said Kia Sorento. You said
Kia Sorento SUV. Yeah.
Okay. What are you all ready to kind of choke the music every time you get in and out of the car? Right, you get in the car, you put the key in, and it plays like this little doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, you know, this little.
Yep.
Are you ready to go stark raving mad
that all
right
about?
By now?
Yes. It does drive you nuts. And then when you hit the lock button, I mean, again, not knocking on this Sorento here, but when you hit the lock button, it's got the lousiest little horn. It's like meme, you know, like to let you know it's locked. So
it's like a Roadrunner horn.
You got the Roadrunner horn.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but yeah, it does the little doo-doo, it does a little montage and everything, you know, and then it's like, you know, it did it on the menu. It's like connecting your phone and do you want to change your menu settings and stuff? And I'm like, you know, I just remember back in the day, like when I learned how to drive, it was just you had a heat and an air conditioning and a tape player and you put the thing in D and you go. But cars today are just and again, this is kind of a base model, you can tell, but there's way more connectivity in these vehicles today than ever before. I can't believe it.
Oh, the telemetrics is ridiculous. You know, I got to tell you, I do have a, now where did it go? Of course, I want to find it. I can't find it. It was another meme. Oh, yeah. It's a picture of an AM radio in the dashboard with the knobs. It's out of a Mustang. And it says, And the text says, kids today think they're so smart. Ask one of them if they can program the stations on this. It's got, you know, the with the push buttons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. Right. You know, we didn't realize how, like, we had our own version of menu-driven stuff that you just had to know how to do, you know? But
right. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, yesterday I was talking to my father-in-law about this. So we were talking about new trucks, specifically new F-150s and new Silverados and new Rams and stuff. And so we were talking about this new Silverado for 2022. There's been some upgrades to the Duramax diesel and some upgrades to the 2.7 turbo. But the 5.3 and the 6.2, when you look at the horsepower specs and the torque specs and the towing and payload, that's all the same. So, you know, you've got these Chevy guys. They're going with 5.3s, they're going with 6.2s. So the performance of the truck for the new model year hasn't really changed in the two main engines, but yet there's more connectivity and there's more technology inside. So it's like the price goes up, but the engine capability doesn't necessarily go up with it. So you're paying more for the technology inside, but you're not necessarily paying more for greater tow capacity or greater payloads. And I think that's just the era that we live in. So you've got these vehicles, all this technology in the dashboard, all these semiconductors, and then there's a shortage of those parts, right? So it's
fail.
What a time, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is. And I tell you what else, what other time it is. It's the bottom of the hour where we need to take our bottom of the hour break, where I know we're going to cue Chris up for the Motormouth Radio thing he does, that whatever he calls it.
Whatever the heck he does at the bottom of the hour.
But I have to tell you first, I have to tell you that you should listen to FM Punk. FM Punk, Chris's favorite show. It's on Thursdays on this station at 10 p.m., and that is a radio show dedicated to all the different kinds of punk music. I didn't know there were different kinds, but there are. And that includes, well, metalcore, hardcore, thrashcore, as well as folk punk and pop punk. What happened to grindcore? And it's hosted by Riley Hogan. So, being that as it may, Chris, do we have an honor group of the hour?
Oh, certainly we do, for all you punks out there. Yes, we do have the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. And this week, individuals that have a can of Bondo on a shelf but never use it on their vehicle. If you use that two-part polyester resin we all call Bondo for things like making custom grips for hand tools, making castings for like things like candle holders or bookends or even bat phones.
I think you're Andy Perillo.
Potting electronics, perhaps. Bondo is very good at insulating electronics. I did not know this.
I didn't know
either. Filling a doorway hinge cutout when you're removing a door. Or filling rotting wood on a backyard deck. Yes, sirree. That's where your Bondo comes in.
Wow.
So if you can go through cans of Bondo and never have a drop touch your car, you are part of the Motormouth Radio on a group of the hour, my friend.
What do you think about that, Carl? Do you fall into any of those categories?
Seriously, you learn something new every time you're on Motormouth Radio. The moment he said the Bondo thing, I thought, I've got some of that next to my bottle of Mother Switzers. That's what I thought.
Right.
Your Mother Switzers convertible top soap.
Isn't that true? Yep. All right. So, Carl, I need you to hang on with us while we take this break. We'll do our stuff, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio with Chris and Ray and Carl right after this on 90.3 WHBC. Chris, that bag you have next to you, I think you need to take that out because we're going to sing about it. So, yes, that green one right there. So on 90.3,
the class to be back.
That's the one. Hang on, we'll be right back. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y sí, hablamos español.
More
more information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk every single weekend.
The Motormouths will be right back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
All right, we're back looking for happiness, and we all have green bags today. That's nice, and thank you, Des. And Carl, that reminds me, we need to get you to do a drop for us one of these days that we can record, and we'll play it during the shows.
Oh, that would be amazing. I would love that. I'd be honored to.
Well, how are you at ad-lib?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, shoot one out. Let's see. If it's good enough, we'll use it.
All right, sounds good. Here we go, everybody in Motormouth Radio Land. In 3, 2, 1. My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and Auto Vision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
Excellent, thank you, Carl.
Whoa, that was awesome.
I will extract.
Nice.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay, that was good. I got all the call letters correct, right?
You did. You absolutely did. And you got our names right, which is good. You hit all the bullet points.
Yes, I love the way you counted it down for editing purposes. That was very good.
Right.
Absolutely.
We usually don't put people on the spot, but I found that when we do that, the professionals in the crew, like Dennis and Alana Scher was another one, they just kind of respond like, okay, boom, and out it goes. So thank you for that.
That's how you can tell the pros.
Yes.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I always do the 3, 2, 1, you know, editing purposes just to make it official, you know.
Exactly. And then a second at the end so we can get a clean back end.
So I have to ask a question.
Yeah,
sure.
Before we move forward, I got to ask, always have to ask a question for Carl. Always have a question for Carl, because to me, I always feel, Carl, you are a wealth of information and something that I think we would get the right answer or close to the right answer. Let me ask you, when you are driving with your wife, Carl, do you have any sort of GPS technology running wherever you're going? You do, right? Is that yes or no?
See, my wife does. My wife uses Waze. I will use Google Maps only if absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, and lately, because of the sake of product reviews, I've been running a bunch of different radar detectors. And so the apps I have on my phone. Yeah. So we've been posting a lot of Escort Radar, Cobra Electronics, K40. If the radar detectors have an app like Escort Live or Cobra Eye Radar, I'll run the apps. But as far as navigation stuff, like our Focus doesn't have navigation. This rental vehicle doesn't have navigation. But I won't run something unless I absolutely don't know where I'm going. But my wife always uses Waze because it's good. She reports things or she can get reports. So she's more the GPS navigator versus me.
Vehicle stopped on road ahead, and I'm like, all right, tell me that if it's in the middle lane sideways. Don't tell me when the guy's on the shoulder.
Yes. but
let me ask, when if you're using, like, let's say cars that are not technologically equipped and you have to use it on the phone, let's say, right? So you're in the car with your wife, you're driving, she's on the phone. Mm-hmm. Does she allow you to listen to the volume of the GPS, or does she keep it low enough where you can't hear it, so you have to ask her what the directions are?
Yeah.
So that happens, right?
Good question. And if I'm driving, she will have the volume off. She'll look at it and she'll go, okay, up here, you need to make a left at this light, or you need to make a right at Maple Street or whatever. So volume off, and she tells me the directions while I operate the motor vehicle.
Now, let me ask you a question. Why does she, my wife does the same thing. Why do
All
they
right.
do
Well,
this?
Let me tell you something, guys. I fall in the other category. We just recently went down to North Carolina, and my wife used Waze all the way there and back, and volume was on, and we basically discussed what was happening. So we had total sharing of the information. It was like for her and for me.
Loud enough.
Yeah.
That would be the right way to do it, if you ask me.
Right. And I'll tell you something. I did read this, that Waze and Google Maps are actually owned by the same company. I guess it's Google that owns. I didn't know that they had a stake in Waze, but I did not know that, and I do now, so.
Yeah. But that has been my lament. So why is the volume low enough that I want to hear it as well? And I have to ask her.
Well, that's the thing. Now the question I should ask you guys is, what the hell's the matter with your wives that they won't share with you? You're the one driving the car. Don't you think you should know?
Right. Yeah, right. Well, you know, and here's the thing. Like when my wife and I are navigating, I do that thing. Like if I'm going to a place I've never been, and I don't know the area, like, I'll turn the radio down. I'll lean over the wheel. You know, like, all of my senses are heightened because I'm like, yes. I don't want to miss the turn. And if I'm going where I know where I'm at, I'm just, you know, but yeah, right. I'm a turn the radio down, get all the distractions out of here.
Right. Okay.
Right. The car knows the way. When you know where you're going, the car knows the way. But yeah, you do. You lean close to the wheel, the radio. You can't have the radio up because then you can't see. So you
turn. Right.
Yeah, of course.
Can't see. And wow. I'm notorious for going, it's got to be around here somewhere. It's got to be, okay, what's that? Oh, hold on. Is it the first drive or the, I think, oh, I shot past it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I do a U-turn here in the middle of the street? Oh, there's nobody around. Yep. Yeah. You know, yeah, I'm notorious for that.
Right. This is a topic that bears further investigation. We may need to do an unofficial poll about this.
Yeah,
because I'm curious. I mean, I'm surprised we have 2-1 here, and I thought that it was just obvious that that's the way it should be, the way that we do it, where everybody is. But Carl, let me ask you about understanding something else, and this was a topic that you guys posted this week: understanding common dealer phrases.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a great.
So, with all of this vehicle shortage going on, you know, we still have readers that they still need a car, right? So, you know, they still need to find a new set of wheels. And like we always say with Automoblog, and like I've said on this show before, we never want people to feel like they're alone. We never want our readers to feel like they're alone when it comes to shopping for a car. So that pinned tweet that we have up right now on our profile, that article, Understanding Dealer Phrases, goes through some really common things that if you're just aware of them ahead of time, it will help you. So one of the big things is like MSRP versus invoice price, right? So you hear invoice price thrown around a lot, but what does it mean? How do you find it? Is that something that you can actually get? So that's a tool for negotiations. One of the other things we cover in there is F&I. And you'll hear that in the dealership world. They'll say, okay, this is the F&I process, or I'm an F&I manager. Well, that stands for finance and insurance, which still really doesn't mean anything. So we walk through with readers, okay, if you buy the car, usually what happens is there's sort of a handoff. So the sales consultant is starting to get the car ready for delivery, you know, starting to get the temporary plates in. And then usually 9 times out of 10, you know, most dealerships, you're with a finance manager. And so here's what that process is going to look like. This is where they're going to pitch you extended warranties. This is where they're going to pitch you accessories. This is where they're going to take the credit applications. So it's that understanding dealer phrases goes through some of that dealership lingo and basically breaks down here. Here's what that process is. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's what you're going to see. This is kind of how to navigate through that. That's kind of what we're getting at there.
You know, I love how the dealership lingo and the shop lingo is usually similar, or you would think it was similar, but it's vastly different because we have an F&I guy in the shop, too. That's that F and idiot that we know that's like, yeah, go see that F&I guy over there.
yep.
A little different. Right. He doesn't know nothing about money.
Right. The I stands for imbecile.
Yeah.
Right. And there are, in that same article, guys, we cover kind of some of the subtle psychological tricks, and I've only picked this up because that's where I started, was in automotive retail, and you know, kind of went through the retail process working in dealerships, and then I was a dealership trainer. But there are some subtle psychological things that happen during the F&I process. Now, they don't happen at all dealerships, but there are subtle little psychological things that because this is sales, you know what I mean? That we kind of say, hey, one of the biggest ones is when they present an extended warranty, instead of presenting it as, hey, this is your extended warranty and not your extended warranty, some dealerships will come out and say, hey, here's the protected version and the unprotected version. And that's sort of this psychological trick to say, well, you've bought this car. Do you want to protect it, or you're at risk if it's unprotected? It's not that it's wrong, but it's a subtle sales trick to get you to say as a customer, oh no, you know, my vehicle's going to be unprotected. And so it's, again, not that that's wrong or right, but we try to cover some of those little, like, just be aware of these little sales phrases and little sales tricks that that not every dealer will use, but some dealerships will use.
Yes. Yeah.
No, those are good tips.
Yeah, yes. Very good. That's excellent. Because, you know, that's a language unto itself that a lot of people do not understand, and that's the dealership stuff. Just like, in a shop, if you want to talk about the subsystems in a car and you talk about sensors or you want to talk about, you know, codes,
yep.
That stuff, you know, that's what Chris affectionately termed clicks and pops years ago. To the uninitiated, yep. That's what it sounds like. It's, you know, so those are things
right.
That people don't know about. And they're never going to be, you know, experts, but at least if they have a passing understanding, it can help that process
right.
go faster.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Just,
and that's why lingo
idea.
Is created. Yeah. Because
yeah.
lingo
yeah.
is there to confuse and to keep out the layman, the civilian, the standard individual. That's what that's what lingo does. And when you shed a light on it, Carl, and make them more informed, yeah, I think it's definitely a benefit, sure.
That's why right. MotorMouthRadio.com has what's called the decoder page, where you can
yeah.
go there and you can look up the words and phrases that we constantly use on this show that people say, what the hell did he just say? What does that mean? You could go look most of the, I mean, it's always a work in progress. We add new ones all the time, but
right.
That's something you may want to go check, especially if you want to see what a stunat is or a, you know,
yes,
something like
those little things like that. And when we put those articles out and we promote them on Twitter and things like that, if you just have those little tidbits of knowledge, it just helps you when you're going to get your car fixed or if you're buying something, if you're buying a new car. And it also helps you to ask the right questions, you know, with the sales consultant to say, hey, does the vehicle have this? You know, what is the warranty? Do you offer any sort of warranty as a dealership? Like if you're buying an used vehicle, is this an as is, or do you offer some kind of warranty? Or, you know, again, one of the things that, and I'll recommend this just now that we're on the show, but, and this is something you don't hear a lot of, but I have found this in my experience to be really effective. If you're at a dealership and you're in the sales department and you're buying a new car, maybe there, but you're not sure, you know, it doesn't hurt to take a walk through the service department, you know, and try to get an idea of what the service department looks like. Is it well run? Is it organized? Is it inviting? You know, and that looking at a service department will tell you a lot about a dealership as well. You know, that because sales and service are interconnected. So that's one thing I recommend to people is, hey, if you're going to buy a new car at this dealership, inevitably you're going to have it back for service. So take a walk through the service department and just see how that's run. You know, if everything looks like it's chaos and disorder, then, you know, that might not be the best experience for you as a customer as well. So we try to just give little tips like that for our readers just to help them through the car buying process, which, let's face it, the car buying process people still are afraid of, and rightfully so, you know, or they don't want to do it or they're nervous. So we're just trying to help them through that process.
Yeah, it's great. Very good.
Very true, yeah. No, I like that idea. I actually was at a Mitsubishi dealership about 20 years ago, and they wouldn't let you into the service department.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was right. a strict rule.
Yeah.
They had the sign.
You had to hand the car.
Yeah.
Right. You handed the car to them. They put it behind this curtain.
Right.
Right. Right.
And out came
IKEA.
Right.
A Kia, a Sorento. You know, a Sorento with Bluetooth.
They kept the car for 18 weeks.
Right.
Yep, 18 weeks. Yeah, it incubated for 18 weeks. And then, you know.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I just want to mention something. I don't know if you guys heard about this. Carl, I don't know if you heard about this, but German drivers are now facing speed limits on the Autobahn. Have you heard about that?
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's news to me.
Well, this is happening after the national elections. What happened is they may face speeds up to 81 miles an hour, which, you know, certain parts of the Autobahn were unrestricted in speed.
Yeah, right.
And that's after the Green Party, which will help form a ruling coalition with the winning Social Democratic Party. And they made it a major point of their campaign, I guess. So they now are going to restrict speed on parts of the internet, I guess. So that's, you know, that's kind of, it's wild.
No idea. I wonder if they're doing it because it's a safety thing, if that's part of the mess. But the Autobahn is pretty safe anyway, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Speed limits aside.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know.
And speaking of speed.
That's news to me.
Speaking of speed, you are really doing a comprehensive research on radar detectors.
Oh yeah,
I haven't seen a radar detector since I was in the holding cell at the 71st precinct.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And I tell you that Max 360, that thing looks pretty slick. It really does.
It's awesome. I've got it up in the windshield right now. I'm still writing my full review on it, but it's, look, I mean, last radar detector I had was in 2005. It was a simple one. It was a red screen, had a city and a highway mode. We were able to get hooked up with Escort Radar and Cobra Electronics and K40 to do some product reviews. And guys, let me tell you, it's been 15, 16 years since I saw a radar detector. I was like, even the base model units, it was like, I couldn't believe how far the technology has come.
Yeah.
And I've spent the last 7 months now just immersing myself in this culture of radar detectors. And, you know, there's radar detector forums. There's a whole community around this stuff. So it's been an interesting 7 months reviewing these, you know, radar detectors. And we'll post more of that stuff on Twitter, full reviews and everything. And I'll tell you what. Not all of them are good. You know, like I reviewed the Cobra Road Scout 2-in-1 combo, radar detector and dash camera combo.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, I didn't really care for it. You know what I mean? So it's like, even though we're reviewing these products, like, you know, you have my word. We're going to be honest with you if we don't fully like something, you know.
That's the way to do it.
So not all of them have been great.
Right. That's the way to do it.
You know.
None of them.
The escorts are really nice.
Yeah.
The escorts have been good products.
They always have been top tier, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, there's still K, KA band, and X band, right? If I remember correctly.
Yep. There's three main ones, X band, K band, and KA band. X bands are mostly false alerts because that radar band's not out there as much. It's used in rural areas, so if you're in a rural area, don't turn your X-band off. K-band, there's a ton of chatter on. K-band can be a lot of different things, so you want to find a radar detector that has good false alert filtering and IVT filters, in-vehicle technology filters. And then KA-band is the most common band that officers use today, so if you get a KA-band, treat it as a serious threat.
Okay.
Got it. And now there's also, tell me if I'm wrong, there's also laser. Is that correct as well?
Yep.
And that's undetectable?
Nope. Laser can be detected by modern radar detectors. And when we say laser, those are LIDAR guns. And that's when they point it directly at you. But modern radar detectors today pick up laser as a separate thing. And usually they will flash, like, they'll go full intensity. When a radar detector gets a laser alert, it's everything, lights and sounds and everything. So, yep, X, K, KA, laser's the most common, and then VG2 is the radar detector frequency that law enforcement uses. And then if you have a higher-end unit like an Escort Redline, it's completely invisible to a radar detector signal. But you don't get I've been driving around Metro Detroit for like 8 months with these things. I've gotten one VG2 alert in the entire time. So I don't know if it's really used as much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
And is it legal in
the...
I picked up a lot, fellas.
Yeah.
Is it legal in Michigan?
Yeah. Radar detectors are legal in all 50 states except for Washington, D.C. and Virginia. Otherwise, you're good to go. You can't have them in commercial vehicles, obviously, but for a personal vehicle, you're fine unless you're in Virginia or Washington, D.C.
Wow. Yeah, I remember the state of Connecticut was also on that list as well. It was Connecticut and Virginia. I'm glad we fell.
Right. From what I understand, they used to be, you know, it used to be kind of, you know, but I think it's not as, I don't know if taboo is the word I want, but it's not as taboo as it used to be to have a radar detector. They're legal pretty much everywhere except for those two areas, Washington, D.C. and Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Got it.
So, Carl, what else do you, we're getting close to our end of our show today. What else you got cooking in the Automobile Blog? What are you working on?
So, obviously the radar detector stuff, we just put up a Shell jump starter review, which it's getting to be that time of year. That was a unit I actually really liked. Only downfall there is that the jumper cables are really, really short. So it's a great portable jump starter, but the jumper cables are really short. So we've got that posted to the site. Otherwise, totally a great unit. I have no problem recommending that. Just if your battery's in a weird place, you may have to get creative with the short cables. And then as far as like stuff coming up, a lot of vehicle overviews this week. Again, you know, there are new vehicles that are coming out, so we'll still continue to do a lot of vehicle overviews. So, you know, a new vehicle being released, hey, here's what it's got, here are the trim levels, here's the MSRP. So we'll have a handful of stuff like that out this week as well.
I'm looking forward to that long-term drive of the Kia Sorento.
Yeah.
And how the cloth seats feel on my denim dungarees. Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. These cloth seats are top of the line here, fellas. Like, I'm just like sitting in a lazy boy.
That's the kind of stuff we've come to expect from Automobile Blog, the great gut-wrenching honest truth, and that's why we love to endorse you guys.
Thank you. Hey, and likewise, man. Like, this is – we love you guys. This is a – You guys have a great audience, true car enthusiast, and that's what it's all about, you know, connecting with true car enthusiasts. At the end of the day, we're a little operation, you know, we're a small team of car folks, and it's great to connect with other people in this community and do what we do, you know, the love of cars, the love of driving.
Excellent. And I tell you what, feel free to drop in on Thursday nights, because I know Chassis John misses you. He's always asking, like, where's that Carl Anthony guy? He wants to...
Chassis John's a good dude. I like talking to him.
Excellent. Yep. So yeah, drop in there. All right, Carl, we're gonna run, so we'll let you go, and we thank you for coming on with us, and we'll be in touch, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm gonna drive away in this Kia Sorento, so don't be jealous. All right.
No, I won't. All right, Carl.
Very envious.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
Yep. Take it easy.
All right, Carl. Thanks
bye-bye.
A lot.
Be
so
safe,
long.
Carl. Thanks.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right, that was Carl Anthony from automobileblog.net. Check them out. Great content, all sorts of great stuff. That's where we get our information from. So, Chris, there we go. We've burned another hour of this show, just bang, like that.
And, yep, just like that. Usually it's a very easy show when we have Carl on. That's what I love about
Absolutely. It. Mm-hmm. So we'll, again, we will see... Yeah, the guy from R1 didn't come in this week. I think he's going to be traveling. We may not be able to get him next week, but we'll see. And if not, we'll see if we can nab somebody else. You never know who's in the clouds. We can often find somebody and snag him. So for that, for the people outside, what do we always say? And for Chassis John, what do we always say?
Don't follow us home, especially rubbing up against your seats in your Kia Sorento.
Right. All right. So for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motor Mouth Radio's out. Stay tuned for Kim and Thunder Road. We'll see you next week on 90.3 WHPC.
See you, bye.
Bye.